Welcome to Mid-Century Modernism with Monique, your go-to podcast for all things architecture, design, and innovation within mid-century modernism. Join me on a journey through the golden age of design, where every episode brings you fresh inspiration for modern living and unlocks the secrets of this iconic and timeless style. What are we waiting for? Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Mid-Century Modernism with Monique. I'm Monique Anton, your host, and I'm so happy and honored to have Karen Nefesina on the show today. Hello, Karen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, so exciting. We've been wanting to do this for a while. So Karen is the owner of Destination Eichler that we all know and love. Her and her husband, John, are amazing designers who started this blog. And the blog about restoring their Eichler quickly went viral, and they were, you know, plunged into this sea of Eichler lovers and people around the nation wanting to talk with them. They've been featured in Dwell Magazine, HGTV, and Atomic Ranch, to name some. But I just wanted to say kudos to you, first and foremost, for starting this company and for also restoring your Eichler.
Thank you. It's a journey.
It's a journey. And it's a very difficult journey. And I was wondering, my first question, we'll just get started into that. What were the most challenging parts for you in restoring your Eichler?
Oh, and it's funny because restoring, it's like we're not, so just so people know and your listeners, like we're not done at all. It's just like a continuous, like, we feel like we're never going to be done.
Yeah, it's never ending.
What are some of the challenges?
I think in the beginning,
because I didn't know a lot about mid-century modern yet, and the homes and their quirkiness, it was just like a whole new world. Like, oh, what do you mean you can't just get a window from Home Depot that fits in the same slot? Just it's everything about an Eichler home and mid-century modern homes is like very special. So, you know, you can put things back in it, but it doesn't mean that they really fit in it anymore. So I think that was just, we accepted that challenge. My husband, John, and I, we started researching, we started getting books, we started going to home tours and looking at other people's houses, going to the neighbors' houses. It's just, we just needed that information on like, what do you do with this house if you do want to restore? The thing with our house is we actually, it wasn't an original shape. It was very far from it. So for us, it wasn't about like, oh, let's make sure to keep something. Everything was nearly gone. So we had to figure out how to put it all back in. So that's just like a different challenge, I think, than other folks who maybe are very fortunate to live in a home where a lot of the features are there. So it's almost kind of obvious, like, of course we're going to keep this or that. We like those parts about it. For us, it was like trying to take a house that was far from its birthing and then kind of bring it back. So that was hard for us, but that's kind of how we started our blog, was to, you know, gather this information. And actually, it was more selfish. It was just for us to document for ourselves, because we would forget. You know, we would just do one project, move on, and then move to something else, and then someone would ask us a question and we'd have to like remember, what did we do? I don't know. It's just it's all a blur. So that's kind of how we started, was just a lot of research. I think just not knowing kind of what fits in the space and how to bring it back, that was a big challenge. And then I think you know, cost of any renovation is very expensive. So for us, some of the things we had to put back in, we kind of had to rebuild ourselves or make it ourselves, because you can't buy certain things anymore. It was definitely a labor of love to kind of try to bring back certain architectural pieces or materials to give that our home some authenticity that it was missing from before.
Well, very inspiring. And doing that yourself, you've also started this company yourself, and now you are writing a book, which you're finished with your book. I am so incredibly impressed that you've done all of this, and you started it all yourself with your husband. That's from one entrepreneur to another. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Really amazing. And my husband and I love the show Cabin Chronicles,
yes,
which you were featured in. And we love the episode, season 3, episode 9, for everyone listening. Please check it out. How was that experience, being on TV,
yeah,
and having that feature?
That experience was really special. I think what makes that even more incredible is that we got to have that whole experience to document not only John and I and the work we did on our cabin, another labor of love, but to have our children in it also. Our children are, I don't know how old they are, 12 and 15, and they actually helped a lot on the cabin. We were trying to teach them, you know, how to, just the way we did with our own house, just like how things get put back together, you know. Houses don't just get built by themselves, like people actually put the work into it. And so they've learned a lot of that from our own homework. And then on the cabin, we also kind of put them to work. So that experience, that's really thankful to, just like the Eichler and Mid-Century community, there's a really tight-knit cabin community.
Oh, yeah.
And when we did buy the cabin, much like the friends I've made in the Mid-Century Modern space, I have a lot of cabin friends, so, you know, John always jokes, like, I have another friend that's named Karen, but she also owns a cabin, so she's Cabin Karen, and then, like, Cabin so-and-so. So that experience came to us because I think Cabin Chronicles was reaching out to a lot of different families and homeowners to find folks to be on the next season. And so another cabin friend, she had just, like, sold her cabin, I think, and bought a new one, so she wasn't in the place to have her cabin be on TV, but she actually recommended our family to the producers. And so we went through a little interview process. And what's funny is I've actually been through this experience several times, both John and I, for other home renovation shows, potentially for our business. So I really didn't think much of it at all because I'd been through the experience so many times where they film you and they're like, yeah, you're great, you're gonna be so great on TV. And then you just never hear back from them. And it takes a time investment, you know, to like go through these interviews and see if you made it to the next round. So what's crazy with Cabin Chronicles, it wasn't super long. You know, they interviewed me. I think John wasn't even there. They wanted to hear our story about our cabin and why we bought it, how we designed it, you know, what we like about it. And then right after, she basically said, okay, great, well, we'll be in touch in a few weeks and then we'll, you know, put these dates on the calendar. And so we put the date on the calendar and I literally forgot about it. I was a little busy. This was actually last fall of 2022 is when they filmed, but it had been the summer before and I was busy actually photographing for my book and writing my book. So, I mean, the cabin thing, I was like, yeah, right. Like, there's no
yeah,
way.
Yeah, whatever.
There's so many beautiful cabins in the world. And we watched the show to see what it was about because we hadn't watched it. And, you know, there's cabins from all around the world. So we're like, our little cabin, like, no one's going to care about our little cabin. But then it all worked out. About a week before the filming, they said, okay, great, we're going to see you in Arnold and bring your family and we'd love to have the kids in it for as long as, you know, you'd like to be able to, you know, have them up there. And so we did it. We actually had to pull our kids out of school for a little bit. And they filmed for 3 days, nearly 3 days, and interviewed us for quite a few hours, both John and I and the kids. And I thought the kids did a really great job articulating what our life is like at the cabin and how it's different. We also had an amazing crew, so I think they were just such like thoughtful way of like working with the kids, especially I think, you know, a good interviewer makes the person speaking feel really comfortable. So I think the kids did a really nice job. And then, yeah, that 3 days got distilled to our 9-minute little episode. So I hope people enjoy it. It really, having a place out in the woods and nature has been really grounding for our family. John and I both grew up camping a lot. Being out in nature, going on road trips with both of our respective families. So we're trying to bring that a little bit of that back into our family. You know, we all have busy schedules with work and school and kids. So that's kind of how that happened. And it's
beautiful.
Nice. We have this little documentary now on our little spot up in Arnold. And it's kind of something special we'll always have.
I love that. Well, that shows a lot about your range. You're doing other homes, Eichler homes, Mid-Century Modern homes, cabins. I wondered from that, from your experience in all these different genres, who were your favorite architects and what drew you to the mid-century modern style?
Yeah, that's a great question. Of course, Frank Lloyd Wright, just classic.
Yes.
And it's funny, I want to mention that I must talk about this stuff a lot at home because when my kids were younger, they would always have to do biographies. And so, you know, big biography project where you dress up and you have to research the person. So one of my kids, you know, I might have influenced it a little, but when one of my sons did Frank Lloyd Wright and the other one did Joseph Eichler. And they would like, you know, read biographies. And like, I remember when my older son was Joseph Eichler and he wore like a suit. It was third grade.
Did he have a cigar?
But then the glasses, he wanted to wear the glasses because he noticed in one of the pictures he wore glasses. So Frank Lloyd Wright for sure, because also Frank Lloyd Wright was such an inspiration to Joseph Eichler and what he did. And then, you know, A. Quincy Jones is one of the architects that designed my home model. And so I didn't know until I did all this research later, you know, I didn't know that he was so well known for all the bigger civic projects. Because I just know him through the Eichler floor plan world of helping to design a lot of the atrium models and things like that. So that's a kind of a proud moment for us as homeowners to know. And I always also try to explain this a lot to folks who don't know a lot about, you know, what's an Eichler home, what makes it special is our homes that are our little 1600 square foot home was designed by someone who built world renowned buildings like all around the world. And then he also put his stamp on these modest houses for families like ours. So I don't know. I think that's really cool.
I love that. So, I love that Eichler did his research on those architects and having those four main architects and seeing their work, and he would also tweak their work.
Yes,
he would say, do it like this, or add this, and as they went on, the homes got bigger and better and more elaborate, and I love that too. It was sort of his way of his artistic expression through these geniuses.
Yes.
So I want to focus on this amazing book right now that you have written, and I know we can pre-order it right now, through your website.
Yep, you can go to our website, destinationeichler.com/book. The name of the book is Mid-Century Modern Style, An Approachable Guide to Inspired Rooms.
I love that.
To make sure I said it right.
I love that.
But it's also available on Amazon, barnesandnobles.com, and bookshop.org. And what we've been telling folks is, you know, feel free to order it from your local bookstore and have them pre-order it for you. We're all about helping to support our independent booksellers. So.
Yes, and what a visually stimulating cover, what a visually stimulating blog. I love how you wrote on your blog that you didn't think that you would have this much attention. You didn't think that the book would be picked up. You didn't think that any of this would happen, how you've kind of blown up in this community. And I think it's really because of your pure enthusiasm for this. It's from your full commitment to it. And it's just been inspiring to see you do all of this yourself. And I think when that energy is there, people gravitate towards you. So I
think. Thank you. Thank you.
It's coupled with that commitment and the hard work that I think really pays off. And I think you're seeing that right now. So it's very exciting.
Thank you so much.
And what you do is contagious. I have told some clients that have seen your work, that have worked with you, they say, you know, the colors make me so happy. And I would categorize your work as a mood boosting.
I love that.
Mid-century modern style, because I have never seen such amazing bold tile work. I have not seen anyone couple that with pieces that almost match that color, but they complement them in a certain way. So I want to go back to some of the press that you've done. You've had tons of press. You did an article for House Beautiful where you talk about the 10 items that you would never pass up in a flea market.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my listeners have written in saying, you know, where do I get the doorknobs? Where do I get these? So I wanted your take on that and any advice you would give our listeners.
Yes, I love vintage shopping, thrift shopping, and that's actually something, as you say, kind of that pure passion. I actually started thrift shopping for clothing back when I was a teenager. So this is definitely not a kind of a thing I just got into in the last few years. Like, I have been thrift shopping my clothing my whole career. That's like something a proud moment for me is when someone compliments me on something, I'll be like, I got it, the Salvation Army in Palo Alto.
Yes. You know?
Like, I am super proud of it because I think it, as, at least you're giving new life to things. So in terms of what are the things mm-hmm. to look for, Pyrex right now is just, I mean, anyone who knows this space will say, oh, Pyrex has always been a thing, but I think there's been a new love, maybe with a younger generation as well, about how great Pyrex products are. The designs that they have, you can have like a whole collection of the same pattern. We functionally use them at home all the time for leftovers. I like that they have a glass top, there's no plastics.
Yes.
Those kinds of things, it's just like, again, timeless design that they were designed well back then, and if you can get your hands on them, they're going to last you for many, many years going forward. Just don't put them in the dishwasher or scrub them too hard. But you can find Pyrex, you know, at a local thrift shop. One way is to Facebook Marketplace has actually become a big way that I, for just our personal home, we actually sell and buy a lot of used secondhand goods on Facebook Marketplace. There's still Craigslist. I think Craigslist is great too because there are still buyers that are looking for a very specific thing. So the sellers still go onto Craigslist because they know that that one person who's looking for that very special, unique vintage thing is going to be out there.
Yes.
I have an affinity, I think, especially since the cabin, for like Pendleton blankets. You can, of course, buy Pendleton new now. I was gifted a beautiful Pendleton beach towel from my sister, but there's also still the original. There's the Glacier National Park, the Stripe series. After I did some research, I found out actually how a lot of those designs, one of the whole collections of the Pendleton blankets is based off of different national parks. So each blanket was for a year of a certain park. So, I mean, things like that. This was way back in the day. So it's just like so neat. Like, I also am a national park nerd. So, you know, I just love that. Like, someone decided to make a blanket for a park. Like, it's kind of crazy. So let's see, what else? I mean, furniture, I could go on for days. Old vintage shell chairs, you know, the molded plastic chairs. What's great is if you do get my book, I actually provide a whole list of resources in the back with actual vendors and ways to shop and what to do and how to look for certain things, or just like even tips on how to get started. You know, what search terms do you look for? A lot of times I'll, you know, maybe research a chair that I'm looking for and find the designer's name. And then you put that into the big internet search world, and then you'll get a lot of other, you know, inspired by or derivatives of that designer's work. So kind of give you some tips and tricks how to kind of get started if you're interested in kind of starting a mid-century collection.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of these things are so expensive now, too. If you go online for Pyrex, you're in for, what, $500?
Right. Yes. Uh-huh.
And I think I've always, you know, always gone to thrift stores to find little art pieces or find things that have that beautiful look that aren't incredibly expensive, mm-hmm. because unfortunately in this genre everything is so, you know, priced very, very high,
yes,
because
right.
of how rare it is.
Right.
So those are some really good tips. Talking about your HGTV experience, I think a lot of people got to know you through that medium. And a lot of people were so inspired seeing your work and getting more tips and tricks on how to restore their mid-century modern home. What was that experience like for you with HGTV?
Well, let's see. We've been lucky. I think we've had quite a few projects that have been, we've actually been in the HGTV magazine. So Yeah, it's been a great way to share a lot of my clients' work with kind of the broader audience, because HGTV and their magazine isn't just Mid-Century Modern. So they've been really interested in sharing some of our families that, you know, why did they buy a mid-century house? You know, one of my wonderful families in a Walnut Creek Eichler that was featured in HGTV magazine, his father was an architect. And so when he bought their home, his father has passed away, but that home really, he knew that his dad would like be so proud of him, because he could mm-hmm. really appreciate the architecture of his Eichler home, and his dad had been an architect. So just those kind of connections on why Mid-Century Modern means so much to so many people in different ways, and what gravitates, mm-hmm. that's how they gravitate towards these homes and stories. And I think now finding ways to create your own story in these homes after all these generations of who knows, you know, what crazy stories happened in all of these old mid-century homes. So we're another way to create your own kind of journey in this kind of architecture.
And our artistic expression. I think all of us that love these homes really have a need to express ourselves through them. And for me, the home has become sort of a part of my ideas, a part of it. It sort of, you grow into it, and the home grows into you mm-hmm. in a way. You and I talked about how a home will tell you what it needs. A home will tell you the tile that it wants, or, you know, the globe lights aren't working, or something won't fit right. But I think that you doing your work has really uplifted a lot of these houses. So I want to thank you for doing that. I love the image of your Eichler kitchen in apartment therapy. Uh-huh. I looked through that, and in the article you were talking about how your Filipino-American background helped you with a lot of your design. And I was really intrigued with that and wanted to see if you could share with us a little bit about that culture and how it's affected your work.
Yeah. In my Filipino family, like just family is like number one. You know, I remember growing up, I would have like school fun, you know, like a friend would want to have me over for a sleepover, but then it would be a cousin's birthday or so family member's wedding or a baptism. And family functions were always like first. And I remember my cousin saying just like, your family has a lot of parties. Like, when do you ever have time to like not do stuff with the family? But that's just how, you know, our family, I have a really large family, and I'm lucky. A lot of my cousins and aunt and uncles, they're all here in the Bay Area. So I grew up being really just thinking that was normal, that you got to have cousins around all the time, that you're always celebrating or, you know, having special events with family close by all the time. So in my own home, when we were approaching our kitchen renovation, again, my home was very far from original. And then there was no like keeping anything about the layout. So we kind of really had to start fresh. The way I redid my kitchen, you know, I think if someone was a purist, mid-century purist, they may not like what we did, but we already kind of had an open plan. You know, not all mid-century homes have an open kitchen plan, but some do. But for me, it was being able to host my family. There are 14 of us with just my siblings, their spouses, and we each have two kids and then my parents. So just family dinner at my house needs to be able to seat 14 of us somewhere, you know? So I think if you see in my kitchen design, we have a very large island. And most of the time we actually have like a bunch of us crammed around kind of just a regular size dining table in the dining room next door. And then a lot of the kids or sometimes the grown-up kids all want to sit at the island. But that's a way we can all be together. We can cook together. Both my mom and my mother-in-law was Chinese. They like to cook a lot. They would teach both me and my kids how to cook like special dishes from each of our heritages. So it's nice to be able to have people doing the cooking, people helping. So it's kind of that family gathering kind of thing. So at my house growing up and in my house now, we're just used to having, we love having people over to cook and be all together in like one big space. So when we approached our kitchen design, that really kind of had to be, that was kind of the best way that would work for the way my family works, which is just a lot of people and a lot of food all the time. And a lot of cleanup, but then you have a lot of people to help with that.
So. Yeah, yeah. And I can sense a lot of color from that too.
Yes, yeah.
Even in the way you dress, the way you accessorize, you have so much amazing, vibrant color in your life. And I love that you're sharing that with people. So.
Thank you. Yeah, I like color, like you said, color, it can spark a mood. And so I think when I work with clients too, that's probably one of the first questions we ask is, you know, what mood, what vibe do you want? You know, because you don't want to be on like all the time, but maybe it's just having that little bit in one spot that like makes you happy. And then, you know, you move on and it can be pretty calm in another spot.
Yes. I normally, whatever Eichler I have listed, I will look at the color of the front door, mm-hmm. and then we will work with the stager to use that same color throughout the house. It's just really funny. I think that that's sort of that spirit of that Eichler, and the color really, it does, it sets the tone mm-hmm. as soon as mm-hmm. you walk in the door. So it's really special. My last question for you is, what is your most favorite part about this work? And when you look back to starting this and what a whirlwind it has been with the blog and doing your own home, what has been your amazing moment? If you can think of maybe one or two.
I'd say that I feel very blessed that the work we do as interior designers, we really change lives. So I have one, I mean, with almost nearly every family I work with, they've either been going, you know, their first baby, second baby, third baby, a new house for a new job. I mean, we're part of people's really personal lives, and it really can change. So every time we do a big project, and actually it doesn't have to be a big renovation. Sometimes one time it was changing, we just changed the furniture around. And then the next time I came over, the clients were so thrilled because they said, we had our neighbors over who we always have over, but we actually used the room and everyone loved it. And we just moved some stuff around. So it's being able to impact people's lives. And, you know, I'm not like a doctor saving lives. My brother is a doctor and he saves lives. But what we do like seems to really make a difference in people's lives. So I love that clients and homeowners put their trust in me and my team to say, hey, we want you to help us kind of change our life in some little way within their home. One client I worked with, she had gone through a really rough flooding experience. And so her kitchen had been flooded for a long, long time. She was dealing with insurance, which is like so stressful. So she had lived kind of in a makeshift, like, she lived in the house with the kitchen flooded and just kind of was just living with like a hot pot and a, you know, for like a year.
Oh.
And then I was able to help her and we got through the whole process, gave her a gorgeous new kitchen. And then the moment everything was all done, she said, you know what? This has been life-changing. I realized I'm done with this house. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to travel the world so I can be with like my adult children and visit them. And I'm, you know, like it's helped me move on. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it was a little lift for her.
She just needed to kind of get through because it's so stressful to go through, first of all, a renovation, but then any renovation that has to do with fire or flood, that's a lot to go through. And then when you actually move through it, it's like, you know what? It's a beautiful new space, but I don't need it anymore. I have like a different, this has made me realize I want different things. So
yes, you evolve.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
But then I'm really fortunate too. Clients have hired me to work with them on multiple homes over multiple years. So again, there's always just this, things happen in life and, you know, homes meet our needs and then they change. And so I'm always so thankful when my clients come back to me to say, okay, you know, let's do this again somewhere else. And embark on a renovation or a restoration. So it's fun. It's fun to be part of people's journeys. It's such a personal experience.
Yeah, we're both so involved with that deep part of people, and I feel the same. I feel so lucky to be so blessed and lucky to be helping this community of people. And for those of you listening, please check out Karen's website at destinationeichler.com. And thank you so much again, Karen, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
We'll see you all next time. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you had as much fun learning about the world of mid-century modernism as I did. You can also catch the show on my YouTube channel, where we walk through some of the most stylish mid-century modern homes in California. Just search for Mid-Century Modernism with Monique and hit subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a comment to let me know what you think. Your feedback helps me make the show even better. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Mid-Century Modernism with Monique.